राम राम हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा کرشنا ہرے 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 رام ہرے رام 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 ہرے 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 رام 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 ہرے 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 کرشنا ہرے کرشنا 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Oh Rama Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare.
Everyone together, right?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারি যে রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি গোপী জন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারি যশোদনন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা থীরাপন ছারি যে রাধে রাধে যে রাধে যে শ্রী রাধে জে কৃষ্ণ জে কৃষ্ণ কৃষ্ণ জে কৃষ্ণ জে শ্রী কৃষ্ণ শ্যাম গৌরী নিত্যা কিশোরী প্রীতম চরী শ্রী রাধে জে রাধে জে রাধে রাধে জে রাধে জে শ্রী রাধে জে রাধে জে রাধে রাসিকা রাসিল ছাইল ছাপিল গুণকর বিল শ্রী কৃষ্ণ জে কৃষ্ণ জে কৃষ্ণ কৃষ্ণ প্রাণপিয়ারি রূপ উচারি অতি সুকুমারী শ্রী রাধে জে রাধে জে রাধে রাধে জে রাধে জে রাধে Nava Navarangi, Nava Latri Bangi, Shama Surangi, Sri Krishna. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna. Rasa Biharini, Rasa Bistarini, Urauna Madini Sri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. Radha Namani Guna Abhiramani Hari Priya Swamini Sri Radhe Hari Priya Swamini Sri Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine Banshakalpatadubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Deve Pranamami Hari Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I am very grateful to be with all of you today. Special gratitude to Pam for opening the doors of her heart and this very holy space for all of us to assemble today. And my heartfelt gratitude to all of you for taking your precious time to be with us. Excuse me. I was asked to speak on subject of what is this? Is your phone? First obstacle has come. These days, overcoming obstacle, we have to press the right button and know which ones to press. On the way here, I was told today is Mahatma Gandhi's birthday. He is an example of overcoming obstacles. In his life, we find that every obstacle that was put on his path, he transformed it into an opportunity to further his mission. Every time he was put in jail, instead of just giving up, becoming depressed or despondent, he became excited. This is fantastic. This is going to increase my mission. And he transformed that obstacle into a great stepping stone forward. Every time his people were beaten or shot or killed, which is something he didn't plan for, but instead of just giving up and saying it's hopeless, how can one skinny little old guy go against the entire British Empire? It seemed impossible. But he chanted the names of the Lord, specifically Lord Rama. And he studied Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a part of Mahabharata, where the great teaching there is, even when you are against all obstacles that are utterly insurmountable by material calculation, if we take shelter and have faith in a divine power beyond our own, then the obstacles will only serve us as stepping stones to higher realizations. And greater accomplishments. So yes, it was almost like the British government, every time they did something against him, were creating traps that they were falling into themselves. Only because he had this positive attitude. And ultimately, he gave his life for a mission, and even in his tragic death, it served to bring international awareness that is practically as strong today as it ever was before. So even his death served as a way of furthering his message and his cause, which is a beautiful evidence of how, if one has a positive attitude and one takes shelter of a divine force beyond our own, then nothing can stop us. The world has no powers to stop the divine. In the life of my own Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, so many obstacles came. And although they may not have been recognizable to the common eye, in the end, because of his positive attitude and his taking shelter, they all served to further his purpose. When he was 70 years old, he had no money. And he was given a free passage on a cargo ship called the Jaladuta. 38 days at sea for a 70-year-old man. Not in an ocean liner, but a cargo ship. And he had two heart attacks. There was no doctors. There was no medical facilities on that ship. He was in the middle of the Arabian Sea. He endured intense seasickness. For those of you who have had that, you know what it's like. And then he finally came to America. And he knew no one, and he had nothing. There were death threats. Whatever little he had, somebody broke into the little place he was staying and stole it. And people back home in India were asking him, come home, what you're doing is impossible. Trying to give bhakti yoga to the people of the West? Impossible. Just come home. You live in Vrindavan, the holiest place. Just be happy. Retire. But he saw every one of these obstacles as a way of transformation, as an opportunity. And of course, great souls that we're talking about, you know, they're giving extreme examples. But these examples are meant for all of us to apply in our daily lives. And this is very much one of the inner secrets of yoga. The Sanskrit yoga word means to reunite, to reconnect, to harmonize the body, the mind, and the life force, or the Atma, the soul. And in that, create harmony in every aspect of our life. There's the example when bamboo is very old and dry, if you put pressure on it, it breaks. But when bamboo is flexible, however much pressure, it bends accordingly and doesn't break. So in the Hatha Yoga exercises, we become more flexible. Yes, and in that flexibility, it protects us from so many ailments, so many injuries. Even athletes, it's very important that they're flexible. And meditation, pranayama, and the asanas themselves are meant not only to make the body flexible, but to make the mind flexible. Wherein flexible means we access, we connect or come in harmony with deeper experiences from within, by which when stress or problem come into our life, we can just adjust to it. We don't become depressed. We don't become despondent. But actually, we see how this situation can be transformed into something very, very positive. Hanuman, he was a very flexible person. He just saw every situation as an opportunity. How many of you know something of the story of Ramayana, and the story of Hanuman? Well, we could speak actually for many days on this subject, but I'll just tell a few things. Ravana stole Sita, and he was keeping her in Sri Lanka, where he had millions of the most powerful soldiers in the planet. And they weren't just soldiers like soldiers today. They had the most advanced weapons, but they were also, every one of them was a mystic yogi who had supernatural powers. They just used it for the wrong purpose. Ravana himself had tremendous mystical cities. He could change his form. If you cut off any one of his limbs, he can make it grow back. He could fly in the sky. He was a very powerful person. But the problem is he didn't have good character. That's why Patanjali, he begins his yoga process with yama and niyama, which essentially is to train people in good character, to live with integrity, so that the powers and the resources that one gains through the further yogic principles will be used for one's own good and for the good of the world. So there was Sita sitting under the Ashok tree like a prisoner on an island 800 miles away from the mainland, and the entire island was completely protected by Ravana's military forces, the most powerful beings in the universe, millions of them. And Hanuman was expected alone to go and pacify her. First thing that was required is he had to jump across the ocean. Nobody else in the world could do it. But Hanuman, for him, it wasn't about his powers. If anyone were to ask Hanuman today, how did you do it? Can I tell you what his answer would be? It's there throughout the scriptures. He didn't do it. He would never take credit for it. Prakrite kriyamana niguna karmani sarvasha ahankara vimutatma karta hamiti manyate. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's a beautiful verse that says, those who are in illusion take credit for what they do. They don't understand that there's a divine force that empowers us. Saintly people, they connect to that higher power and humble themselves before that higher power. Hanuman would tell us, it was Ram that did it, through me, of all people, through me. So he chanted the name of Ram, knowing that Ram is none different than his name and can give us all power through the name. And chanting the name of Ram, he jumped off the Mahendra mountain and in one leap started crossing over the Indian Ocean. And so many obstacles came on his path. One was Surasa. Surasa, she was the mother of the Nagas. She emerged from the sea and opened her mouth. And she had a big mouth. And she said, I have been given a benediction from Brahma that no one can cross me without being swallowed and devoured by me. So Hanuman expanded by his mystic powers. He expanded himself to be bigger. And she expanded her mouth to be bigger. And he expanded and she expanded. And finally she had her huge mouth and Hanuman was like a mountain. But no matter how big he came, her mouth was bigger. And she was intent to devour him. So Hanuman all of a sudden shrunk himself to be the size of a small thumb. And then he just ran into her mouth, and ran down her throat, and came back out. And this little Hanuman says, the blessing of Brahma has been fulfilled. You devoured me. And then she became her normal size and she smiled and she said, it's true. I give you all blessings that you fulfill your mission to Lord Ram. So although it was an impossible situation, he took it as an opportunity. And we're still talking about it today. Ages later. And then he continued his jump, which seemed like flying. To fly, you need wings. But he didn't have wings. He just jumped. And all of a sudden, while he was in the air, he was just stuck right in the middle of the air. He wasn't moving. Can you imagine an airplane in the 30,000 feet above sea level and all of a sudden it's just in one place and can't move? Hanuman looked down and saw that Simika was a mystic Rakshasi who had the power of being able to stop a person's progress by grabbing onto their shadow. And she was holding on to the leg of his shadow and he couldn't move. And then she opened up her mouth to eat him. And he grew, and she grew, and he grew, and she grew. And then he became small. And he went into her mouth and went down her throat and went into her stomach. And then with his nails, he went and ripped open her heart. And she opened her mouth and he came out. And she went into the ocean and he continued his journey. Because he had such hope, he had such faith that nothing could stop him. And so many other obstacles came on his path. But when he came to Sri Lanka, he disguised himself to be very small, like a little cat, and was just checking out everything. And he found Sita. And he gave Sita Ram's message and a gift that Ram presented to Sita and pacified her heart. But then he wanted to do something more. So he started tearing down the trees of Ravana's favorite garden. And he sent the most powerful military to capture him. And ultimately, he allowed himself to be tied with ropes and captured. And he was brought right before Ravana. With all of his military and his ministers and his generals all assembled. One little monkey. And Ravana said to his military, kill him. And Ravana's brother, Vibhishan, younger brother, he said, no, you cannot do this. Because according to military rules, you cannot kill a messenger. You can torture him, but you can't kill him. So Ravana said, monkeys are proud of their tails. Light his tail on fire. So they lit his tail on fire. So Hanuman could be thinking, God, I'm going to be burning to death. But he saw it as an opportunity. What can I do in this situation to serve? So he slipped out of the ropes and jumped onto a roof, and with this tail that was on fire, he just touched it to a building. It caught on fire. He jumped to the next building, touched it, caught it on fire. He took the same difficulty and made it into a great opportunity to serve. He burned down most of the whole city with his blazing tail. Then he called out to Ravana, I'm just the insignificant servant of Ram. Soon Ram will be coming. Better you give up Sita and return her. Then he jumped in the ocean, put his tail out, and then jumped back. But one interesting thing is while he was jumping all around Sri Lanka, putting everything on fire, he felt that although he was burning everything else, his tail felt like a menthol cool sensation. And that's not what fire does. But he immediately understood exactly what was happening. That Sita, who was trapped in that Ashok Grove, who's the supreme mother of all living beings, Sita is the feminine aspect of the Supreme Lord. The compassionate, forgiving side of the divine. She prayed to Agni, the presiding deity of fire, that my Hanuman is doing all this for me, my son Hanuman. Please make the fire on his tail very cooling and refreshing to him. So when he felt it, he knew it was the prayers of Sita. And he came back to report his mission to Ram. And when he arrived, he gave Ram the jewel that was presented to him through Sita. And when Ram heard the story, he became choked up. Tears came to his eyes. Now this is the supreme absolute truth. The one God of all religions who was appearing in the world in the form of Ram. He said, I'm living now in the forest. I have nothing to give you in return for what you've done for me. All I have is my embrace. And in giving my embrace, I give you my heart. Ram embraced Hanuman and bathed Hanuman in his tears of gratitude. And for Hanuman, there was absolutely no greater reward. Samsadir Haritoshanam. Because his only goal in life, his only pleasure in life was to give pleasure to his beloved. So these are a few stories of Hanumanji, who who taught us by his own example that whatever obstacle that comes, if we have faith in the path of yoga or accessing the divine within ourselves, and we're flexible to adjust according to the circumstance, then the obstacles can serve to further our purpose, our cause, and help us. I was asked to speak something about this book, The Journey Home. In my own life, this book really is about how to deal with obstacles. Life is about obstacles, whether we like it or not. I was born in 1950 in Chicago. That means, some of you are well aware, I grew up in the 60s as a teenager, which were very turbulent times. The civil rights movement was blazing. When I was 15 years old, I had a job in a suburb of Chicago. And practically, except for my friend Gary, everyone I was working with were African Americans from the ghettos of the South Side of Chicago. And they became my friends. They were almost all the age of my father. And they were so kind and so good. But almost every one of them was downtrodden, persecuted, and just to deal with it all, many of them were alcoholics. Why? I was born and raised to think that this is the land of the free, where all men are created equal. I saw right before my young, impressionable eyes a total contradiction in what I was taught was the very foundation of this country. They were not free. Maybe legally they were, but socially, in those days, if you're born in the ghetto, there's practically no chance of ever getting out. And Martin Luther King was trying to stand up for the rights of those people in the South and in the North. I marched with his people and had stones and bottles and curses thrown at me by my white brothers and sisters. Did it make sense? There was also a Vietnam War. Today we have the Afghanistan and our Iraq War. But the Vietnam War really came into our homes much more powerful because there was a draft. And if you turn 18, you are eligible. And unless you really know how to get out of it with proper connections, you have two choices. Fight a war that in many cases you have to kill or die for something you absolutely don't believe in. The other choice, don't do it and go to jail and get your name blacklisted from getting a good job. The threat was ever again in your life. Or escape from the country, be a fugitive of the federal government. That brought the roar home very closely to our hearts. And in a peaceful demonstration in Grant Park of Chicago, I remember getting tear gassed and being chased by club-swinging police who I was told were protecting my freedom. Serious questions. Serious obstacles. How to deal with it. Martin Luther King's guru was Mahatma Gandhi. Not to bow down, not to lose hope, but to take the obstacles and transform them into positive weapons for victory. In my own life, I joined the counterculture where the music was very much oriented toward revolution, toward change. Bob Dylan sang that song, "The Times Are a-Changing." And I remember hearing a statement by Mahatma Gandhi. Be the change you want to see in the world. And I understood this to mean be the change that you want to see in others. Rather than just criticizing them, be what you expect them to be. Because I saw, even in the counterculture, I saw in myself and among my colleagues the same type of hypocrisy. We were revolting against something, but inside, in so many cases, we were representing the same thing, just in a different package, as long as it was egoism and selfishness. I heard the statement that if we do not have an ideal we're willing to die for, we have nothing really meaningful to live for. In my mind, in my heart, I had this passion. I have to find that ideal. I have to try to become that change I want to see in the world. And that meant, along with trying to change society and the world, I have to change myself. Today we see so many problems in the environment. Pollution. Some years ago, I was in the New Delhi airport, and I met the Minister of the Environment and Forestry. And she sat next to me. I was just minding my own business, waiting for my flight. She said, "What are you yogis and swamis doing for the environment? The rivers are polluted. The lakes are polluted. The oceans are polluted. The earth is polluted. The air is polluted. Poisoning people, threatening the very survival of mankind. Innocent animals are becoming extinct, and you're sitting in your ashrams meditating and doing asanas and chanting your mantras. What are you doing for the environment?" I said a little prayer in my heart. She was a powerful lady, one of the most powerful women in the world at the time. And I said to her, "If you have a disease of blood in your body, the symptoms may be boils. You have to deal with the symptoms of those boils. You put some compress, you put some salve. But if you don't go to the root cause, the disease in the blood, then however many boils you heal, another one's going to come and another one's going to come and another one's going to come." the reason for all this pollution in the environment is pollution in the ecology of the human heart. The toxic poison of greed, egoism, selfishness. I guarantee you, if we don't purify that, then even if you clean every river and every ocean and the whole earth and every bit of the sky, it's just going to be all polluted once again. With a pure heart, we have values. We have compassion and gratitude to Mother Earth, who's providing everything. There is a golden rule of environmental economics that whatever you take from the earth, you replenish. And what you replenish the earth with is what you're going to get back. Now we are exploiting beautiful resources and giving back toxin waste. And what we get back in the future is the toxins. Quoting Mahatma Gandhi again, he said that Mother Earth can provide everything for everyone, but Mother Earth cannot provide enough for even a few people with greed. One great thinker said, you can never get enough of what you don't really want. And that is the situation of the world today. I explained some of these things. That the whole purpose of yoga, the whole purpose of true spirituality, is it's a science of cleansing the ecology of the heart and tasting the joy and the beauty of living a life in harmony with the environment, with God, and with each other. So you deal with the symptoms, and we'll try to deal with the root cause of the symptoms by awakening people to cleanse their hearts. And let's work together. And she smiled at me. And she said, yes, we will work together. It's very important. Real change in the economics, in the ecology, in the politics, has to come from a change in heart. Passing laws, making rules, is necessary on a symptomatic level, but it provides no solutions. The solution is that inner change of the ecology of the heart. So when I was young, I came to this conclusion that I really have to find who I am. I really have to connect to something within myself that will make whatever proactive actions I make for change in the world substantial and real. So it set me on a spiritual journey. Myself and my friend, we decided to take a summer trip to Europe to explore how other people look at the world outside of our own country. How they see each other, how they see America. And how they see God. And that trip was quite transforming. The first day, an obstacle came. Can I tell you? Gary said, let's go on this summer trip. I said, I cannot go. He said, why? I said, I have no money. And I have a job set up for the summer to help me to get through college the next year. His response, he said, I have no money either. But our friend Frank, he's willing to sponsor the whole journey for both of us because he wants to go so bad and he wants company. He doesn't have much money. It'll be simple, but he has enough for both of us. I was 19 years old, and I was convinced. A few days later, $65 ticket, from what I remember, from New York to Iceland, with a connecting flight to Luxembourg. We slept in a tent that night in a campground. And the first morning, as Gary and I were relishing for the first time in our lives, we were out in a foreign land with an adventure of exploring the world with no parental supervision. All that stuff was across the ocean. Suddenly we heard a screech, and Frank came out of the tent totally despondent. All of his money was stolen. This was the first day. Frank said, we're all going back. We can't possibly survive with nothing. And he slung his backpack over his shoulder and said, come, we have, you know, return tickets. And Gary and I just stood there. And he went back and we stayed. That was the first obstacle. We had nothing. And I remember looking at a stream sitting at its side, thinking, now I'm just like this stream. Let me just flow with the current of destiny. And it became a very, very educational experience. We would hitchhike, and wherever the driver who picked us up was going, we believe that's where God wants us to go. And more we were going to rock festivals and counterculture gatherings. But there was a calling in my heart, trying to look for something very deep. We're spending a lot of times in museums and synagogues and cathedrals and monasteries and ultimately in a cave in an island of Greece. And then there was a calling for me to go to India from within. So I left Gary with nothing, started hitchhiking east. I had no map, but I had faith that if I just keep hitchhiking in the eastern direction, someday I'll reach India. And the obstacles that came before me, hitchhiking through Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, were like I had never experienced in my life. Serious challenges. But I believed that they were all meant to purify me, to help me really connect to an eternal essence beyond all danger and fear. I I aged about 30 years in the 3 months of hitchhiking from Istanbul to the Himalayas. After 6 months of hitchhiking from London to the border guard in India, this was an obstacle in my life that I'll never forget. I remember I had to walk about 20 kilometers through a no man's land between Pakistan and India, two rival nations. And on my way, there were so many life-threatening situations through the Middle East and diseases like I'd never experienced before. And now I'm steps away from India. The yogis, the swamis, the lamas, the sages, the gurus, the culture. I'm so close. All that was between me was one immigration lady. She took my passport and I had a valid visa. She asked me the one question I feared. How much money do you have? I took a few minutes just to gather all the money from my little cloth bag. I remember exactly. It was 26 cents in four currencies. She said, you need at least $200 before you can come into India. Now show me your money or go back. I pleaded with her. I argued with her. I begged her. And she became more and more adamant to the point where she had her guards put their guns in my face and force me to go back. But where was for me to go? Hitchhike all the way back? I just sat under a tree in the no man's land, and every half hour I would come back and beg her, and she totally ignored me. And every now and then she'd scream at me. And then she didn't even bother screaming at me. She just had the guards chase me away. I felt like just a worthless little piece of garbage sitting between two enemy nations. It was an obstacle. But it really had me get an appreciation for what I really wanted to do. If things come easy, sometimes we take it for granted. We don't really appreciate the value of something. About 6 hours later, the guard changed. And a large Sikh man with a military turban took the post. And she drove off in her jeep. And I prayed. I really prayed. And I approached the new agent and gave him my passport. And he wouldn't even look at me. Then he stared me in the eyes and said, you are a nuisance. I've already been warned about you. You are rejected. Go home. Without $200, you will not come in. I cried. For real. And I pleaded. I've risked my life. I've endured the worst difficulties I've ever had. Just to see your land and to learn from your people. Just give me a chance, and I promise someday I'll do good for your people. He stared at me as if studying the intent of my heart. Then he spoke. He said, sometimes a man must follow his heart. I have been ordered by my superior officer to refuse your entry. But I am going to give you the chance that you are crying for. They took my passport and stamped it. He was about 50, I was 19. He put his hand on my head and said, "My son, I bless you that you find what you are crying for. Welcome to India." If we don't give up, if we have a positive attitude, if we have faith in prayer, in a divine force beyond our own, we can overcome obstacles. It's so easy to give up. It's so easy to find reasons of why we can't do something by blaming others. But we don't get anywhere. Even if we're right, what difference does it make? The purpose of life is to progress, whether we're right or wrong. I remember walking that night. It was very dark, just minutes after I crossed the border. I was just walking through an agricultural field in the middle of nowhere in the countryside. I had no money. I didn't know anyone. The first Indian I ever met in my life was the immigration agent. It's becoming exciting. It's background music. And I remember just looking up at the stars. I didn't know whether I should walk right or left, or there was no road. I was just walking. Frogs and crickets and all kinds of sounds. But I felt that I'm home. I was happy. Soon I went to the Himalayas. And I remember one incident that connects to today's theme. I was sitting on a rock in the river Ganges, and I was watching the river flowing all around me. And I was thinking how Mother Ganges is teaching me such an important lesson. She just keeps flowing, no matter what happens. There's massive boulders, and she just flows either over, under, or around them. There's mountains, and she somehow or other finds her way around it. There's all sorts of obstacles, but Mother Ganges, her goal is to reach the sea, and nothing can stop her. In the same way, in our goal, whether it be our spiritual goal or our more relative goals, if we never give up, if we never become discouraged, if we see obstacles as opportunities to grow, we can be flexible enough to flow over, under, or around all obstacles, but never stop our progress toward our goals in life. This is the lesson of Mother Ganges to me. And I could tell you that lesson, to this day, 40 years later, has given me such strength. The yoga practice, let us just take hatha yoga, there is strength in flexibility. In fact, it's a greater strength than just brute force. And mentally, just having a one-track mind, fanaticism, sectarianism, egoism, there's a much greater strength in having a flexible and broad mind, an accommodating mind. Because that strength can access a power beyond our own to make real changes. So much of the problems in world history are due to people who are stubborn, based on their ego. Mother Ganga is stubborn. She won't give up her journey to the sea. But she's very flexible. She's very adjustable to do the needful to get there. Patience. I remember sitting on the bank of that Ganges and just watching each little drop of the Ganges was somehow or other on the way to the sea. But it was about 1,000 miles away. If that drop gives up and goes off to the bank, thinking that, you know, I could rest here better, it never gets to the sea. But each little drop, if they just stay in the current with patience, will inevitably reach the sea. One great saint, Rupa Goswami, he explained the symptoms of Sharanagati, or surrender. Enthusiasm, to never lose our enthusiasm under any situation. And patience. The combination of the two is all powerful. If we have enthusiasm and patience. Patience means when we may not get what we want now. It may take a long time. If we don't have enthusiasm, we don't go anywhere. If we don't have patience, we'll work hard, but if we don't get the results soon, we give up. But those little drops in the Ganga, in the Ganges River, if they just keep their enthusiasm to stay in the current, in time, they reach the sea. So in the current of life, if we just keep our enthusiasm and patience, in time, we will reach our goals. And the real goal is in that endeavor. Krishna tells Arjuna, whether you win or lose, success, failure, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, these things all happen. But the real success is in the integrity of your intent. That's where liberation comes. That's where real inner satisfaction comes. If we just keep trying with positive attitude, and patience, we're guaranteed success. Because those qualities, the qualities of devotion or bhakti, please the Lord within. That liberates us and empowers us. There's a beautiful verse by one of the greatest lady saints that ever lived, Kunti Devi. Twai me nanya vishaya matir madhupate sukrit ratim udvatahat adha gangeva ugam udanvati. She went through, if you read Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavat, you'll read the obstacles, the calamities, the difficulties that Kunti Dev went through. Unimaginable. But she never lost her faith or her hope. And when everything came out in a positive way, she offered this prayer. My sweet Lord, she's praying to Krishna, my sweet Lord, as Mother Ganges forever flows to the sea without being distracted or without any hindrance stopping her flow, let my attraction forever be drawn to you without being disturbed by any condition, by any attraction. So obstacles in the path of yoga are actually our best friends. If we have that flexibility and that wisdom to help, to utilize them to help us to go deeper, deeper into our own selves to resolve it. And this is really the secret of success in every field of life in the world. To transform impediments and obstacles into wonderful resources. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pam, for your kind patience.
And I would like to thank all of you for overcoming the obstacles and finding the Hyde School of Yoga of this city on such a beautiful day today. And coming here and joining us in spirit and in heart. Inspiring words of wisdom, experiential words of wisdom. I would love for us all to come together in the sacred chant and raise our voices to this beautiful day, this beautiful opportunity. So we could come together in the chant, perform the sacred chant. What if you did Om Kar, the three sounds? Ah, ooh, om. Right? So it's ah as in the word sa, ooh as in the word mood, and om, om. Ah, ooh, om. Very kind attention, and most importantly, your devotion. Namaste.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Radhanath Swami. A big round of applause. And thank you very much, Pam, for hosting this program and inviting all of us and leading us in this wonderful chant of Om in the end. It was beautiful. As we all know, His Holiness Radhanath Swami is on a book tour of his book, The Journey Home. And he has been in Houston for past couple of days. So here we have an opportunity to have an autographed copy of this book, The Journey Home. Its marked price is $16.95, but only in honor of his tour in Houston, we are offering it for $10, one book for $10, two books for $15, and three books for $20. So, you know, take advantage of this wonderful opportunity, and we'll have a book signing event now. All of you, if anyone wants the books, they can take from this rack and then get it autographed by Radhanath Swami. Thank you very much.